We've been talking about these economies of Christ, these capitals, what you have to invest in your life and to further the kingdom. It was great this morning when Senator Banks was here, and he's not here right now, but he was talking about the fact that as believers, we basically need to invest some things. We need to invest in the kingdom. And he used the example of the parable of the talents to say we need to invest our money in the kingdom. We talked about that last week. And we're kind of in the what I call the hump of the sermon series. We're in the middle. So today I want to talk about two very, a little bit more important than money. And I want to talk about both of them today because they kind of interchange. And they kind of work together. But we're going to be talking about our physical capital and our intellectual capital. So, but first, I want us to say together out loud what these are from the top to the bottom. So let's say them with me. Spiritual, relational, physical, intellectual, and financial. If you open your Bibles, we will be in the book of Mark to begin with. And as you know, I don't usually stay in one book very long. We will be all over the place kind of supporting some of the ideas that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me as I'm looking at this idea of our physical and our intellectual capital. And I don't know why I didn't turn to it earlier. Here we go. Mark chapter 12. We're going to read verse 30. It's a very familiar verse. It's been repeated many times in Scripture, actually originally in the Old Testament. Little nuances here, but this is the one we're going to read. Mark 12, verse 30. Says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Father, we praise you for your word, Lord. We just ask that you would reveal to us how we are to use our minds and use our bodies, our strength, to honor you and to love you. And we just ask that these words that you've given me may not be me speaking, Lord, but the Holy Spirit speaking to the hearts of those that are listening. We praise you and we praise your name. Amen. We are a pretty smart people. Mankind, since recorded history, if you take recorded history and you condense it down to 50 years, you develop a chronology of what has happened in mankind. If you took those, all the time of written man's history, and you condensed it down to 50, basically 5 years ago, writing was invented. So you're taking this huge amount of time, condensed it to 50, 5 years ago, writing was invented. 2 years ago, Christianity appeared. 15 months ago, the Gutenberg developed the printing press. 10 days ago, electricity was discovered. Yesterday morning, the airplane was invented. Last night, radio. This morning, television. And jet airplanes were invented less than a minute ago. Now, if you look at those things and you start to see that there's a decrease in time with each of those items, we are beginning today, things are changing at an exponential rate. Did you know that more than 80% of all scientists who have ever lived are alive today? 80% of all scientists who ever lived are alive today. And an estimated 70% of the medicines that are in use today were developed after World War II. And over 15,000 scientific journals are being published, many with worldwide circulation. It is possible to press a few buttons on a computer or an iPad, and in half an hour you could learn and supplement an engineer's life's work produced before 1955. You can go online and you can learn how to do something on YouTube. Look at a video and watch a video and learn how to do something on YouTube. Just about anything. We are hungry for knowledge. If you listen to any of the news articles dealing with the whole idea of artificial intelligence and where we're at as far as computers go, and believe me, when computers came on the scene, it just grew exponentially. And you understand that artificial intelligence has been developed. And amongst a lot of the futurists, I'd call them, or people who think outside the box and are thinking forward, they're scared. Because they're afraid that artificial intelligence is going to bypass human intelligence, and they're going to think, the artificial intelligence is going to think that we're a bug that needs to be eradicated. You ever see the movie Terminator? Ray Kurzweil, who is kind of the outside-the-box thinker for Google, he wrote a book. It's about this big. I've read about a quarter of it, and I had to put it down because my brain hurt after reading it. He talks about the singularity where human technologies and human combine. And it comes to the point where computers are making computers and extending memory and processing power beyond anything we can imagine. They say by the year 2025, a large portion of jobs are going to be gone because robotics are going to take over. Computers are taking over. Technology and knowledge and intellect is growing exponentially. But you want to know something? Man's wisdom is insufficient. It is insufficient. It's limited because we're human. It's partial because we don't see the whole picture. T.S. Eliot said it beautifully in his writings called The Rock. He says, all of our knowledge brings us nearer to our ignorance. Let me say that again. All of our knowledge brings us nearer to our ignorance. And all of our ignorance brings us nearer to death. But nearness to death, no nearer to God. All of this intelligence, all of this knowledge we have brings us closer to ignorance, which brings us closer to death, but doesn't bring us any closer to God. And it is because unaided human intelligence is futile. And it's been that way for a long time. If you go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, verse 21, Paul is in Athens, and it says, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. How many of you get a new cell phone every year? Oh, come on. You don't? I don't either. But there are people who get a new cell phone every year. They want the next and the best. Now, there's nothing wrong with the iPhone 4, but they want the iPhone 5. And in 6 months, they're going to want the iPhone 6. They're always looking for something new. That's the way the Athenians were. They didn't spend any time with what they learned to have an impact on their life. They always just wanted the next best thing. What is amazing is, if we go to what Paul says in Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3:20, it says, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Yours and my thoughts, unaided thoughts and knowledge, is futile. Especially when it comes to these capitals. When it comes to reaching the spiritual capital, the knowledge you and I have, the human knowledge we have that's unaided by God, is futile. It's worthless. Human intelligence does not bring the knowledge of God. I don't care how much time you spend in seminary, how much time you spend studying about God, you don't know God. You know about Him. There are many atheists out there who know more about God than most Christians do. But they don't know God. 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 21 says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? And where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Jesus himself had the same issue. when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he tells them in John 5, 39 through 40, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. He says, you're looking at the scriptures. You think that's where eternal life is. But those same scriptures that you're looking at, they say who I am. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Understand, in our human wisdom, we cannot know God. So how do we know God? We know God because he reveals himself to us. He revealed himself to us in nature. Romans talks about that. He's revealed in nature. And he reveals himself to us in his Son. Without Christ coming, we would not know God. Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know God because of me. We only know God because of his wisdom. His wisdom reveals himself to us. It's through that we know God. It's not by our human wisdom. It's by God's wisdom that he gives us. And what an awesome gift. I mean, have you ever been reading scripture and you've read that scripture a thousand times and yet there's one little nuance that's different in it? The scripture hasn't changed. But God is revealing to you a little nugget of information that was there, but you just never saw it. He's revealing himself to you a little bit more. It's through God's wisdom that we know him. Human wisdom does not allow us to know God. It is only through God's wisdom that we know him. Human intelligence is also falls short because it cannot promote godliness. You could study the Ten Commandments. You could study the Old Testament. You could study everything about Jesus. And in your human wisdom, you will still not be godly. Colossians 2:23 says, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value to stopping the indulgence of the flesh. What Paul is talking about here, he's talking about there were people who had come, had talked to them about in order to be a good Christian, you needed to change what you do. You can't eat food sacrificed to idols. You must be circumcised. You must do this. You must be that. And Paul's saying, while they look like they are good, they have no value because you still are going to fall to temptation. They don't keep you from temptation. It may be very smart to do something. I don't want to offend anybody. It may be very smart to be a vegetarian. But it doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you godly to be a vegetarian. No more than eating meat makes you holy. It may be good. That's what Paul's saying. It may actually look like it's good, but it's self-made. It's not godly. It's not what leads you to God and to be like God. The only thing that leads you to be like God is his wisdom and his Son who shows you how to live. It doesn't lead. Human intelligence does not lead us to be godly. James 3:14 through 16 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above. This is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. What James is saying here is, if you have jealousy, if you're looking out for yourself, if you're not loving your brother, that's not wisdom. That's not godly wisdom. It's false. It's of Satan to be jealous. and selfish ambition. I want what's best for me. That's not godly. Because if there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there's all kinds of problems. So human intelligence does not promote godliness. And when we rely on it, see, the thing is we rely on our human intelligence. And I do this. I rely on what God has taught me. And I think, oh, yeah, yay me. I did a great job. But it's God who did it, not me. But when we rely on human intelligence, it brings judgment. I love the book of Job, even though you don't get all the answers in Job that we'd like to get. But I love the book of Job because Job says, he talks about God. He says in Job 5:13, he says, he catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. My kids, Caleb, you know, will get caught doing something he's not supposed to. Best example actually was Abigail, what she did recently. Abigail loves to drink my cold coffee. So if I leave, and I'm ask my wife, I'm awful at this. I will leave my coffee cups all over the house. And then I walk around, where's my coffee cup? I want some coffee. So I'll get another coffee cup. And then two or three days later, I find my coffee cup in the family room, and it's got cold coffee in it. And I'll drink it because I like cold coffee. But Abigail will go around, and she will find my coffee, and she will drink it. Now, the other night, she goes into the kitchen, and I have my coffee cup sitting on our china cabinet in the kitchen. And she was reaching for something that she wasn't supposed to get without help. And guess what she did? She knocked off my coffee cup. And it broke. And it was loud. She thought she was being crafty. And I don't mean crafty as crocheting. She thought she was being, oh, I'll sneak this. And there wasn't anything bad what she was getting. I mean, if she would ask us for it, we would have given it to her. But she knocked off my coffee cup. Well, now, because of that, she can't drink. I'm not allowing her to drink any of my coffee. All right, now I'm going to tell on myself. I've told on my kids. I'm going to tell on me. There are times in my life where I've done something that I know I shouldn't have done, and I'm thinking, got away with it. You know, I was crafty. I was wise. I saved myself. God says, really? Wait. And there have been times where it has come back to bite me. Job's right. God catches us in our own craftiness, and the schemes and the things we come up with are brought to a quick end. And if you think you got away with it, if there are sins you thought you got away with, oh, one day, you'll be accountable for them. Now, I'm not saying you're losing your salvation. I'm just saying that Jesus knows. He always knows. And he will bring them to an end one day. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:19, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Thwart. It's an interesting word. Thwart means to stop. I will bypass it. I will eliminate it. We think we're so smart. We really think we're so smart. In reality, we're fools. We are foolish. When compared to the wisdom of God, we are foolish. And he reveals that wisdom to us, and we know him. We get to know him. Because, I want to say something. Intelligence, what we have, and intelligence is a God-given ability to acquire knowledge and learn skills. God has given us the ability through his wisdom to teach us. If you look in the Old Testament, you look when the tabernacle was being built. God gave those people the ability to work with gold, to work with linens, to work with metal and stone. He revealed to them supernaturally how to do something. He gives us the ability to do things. God created us with the ability for a lot of creativity, a lot of ideas. And the attainment of knowledge. But the problem is, we need to invest what God has given us correctly. Man has created many evil things. Creative? Oh, yeah. Extremely creative. But evil. Study what a lot of the doctors did in Germany during World War II. Creative? Oh, yeah. Evil. Study today some of the things that are being done in different industries. Creative? Yeah. Evil? Yes. Without God, our creativity runs wild and runs to the evil. See, the currency that we have when it comes to our intelligence are concepts, ideas, information, and application. Concepts is an abstract idea, a general notion. It's kind of like the light bulb. Think about this. I want to put the idea. The idea will be next, but the light bulb. When Thomas Edison had the idea, this idea came to his mind. If we take electricity and we put it through a wire, we can make light. So he had this concept of how it might work. Then he gets this idea, which is a thought or a suggestion for a possible course of action. So he sat and he started creating it. And he thought, we need to put a little wire in between here. The bulbs looked a little different than they do today, by the way. They're kind of cool. But he thought, I need to put a little wire in there. And we heat it up. So he had to try over and over and over again. And that's where the information comes in. It's facts provided and learned about something. Thomas Edison failed over and over and over and over again until he finally found the right kind of metal that would not burn up and would actually last long enough. And then he applied it. He put it into action. He actually put it into action by developing it and developing the light bulb. And hence today, we have light. We have light. So those are the things we have to invest. And I truly believe that God revealed those things to Thomas Edison. Now, I don't know whether Thomas Edison was a believer. I doubt it, considering some of his actions. If you read about his interactions with Tesla, I'm not so sure. He didn't live his faith if he was. But I think God still reveals things to those non-believers, ideas that will help further his kingdom. But human cleverness proves ultimately futile, but we are called to develop and use our minds fully in God's service. God may use our minds without us knowing it. I think God uses non-believers without them even knowing that God's doing it. But as believers, we are responsible to use our minds. What does the verse say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. We need to use our minds in God's service and dedicate the gifts that he's developed within us and the abilities. Jesus was amazing when it came to intellect. He was God. But he was amazing in how he used that. Think about this. He recognized the culture of his day. And in that culture, he was called a rabbi. A rabbi is a teacher. Rabbis would study for a long time, gain the knowledge, and then share the knowledge. Jesus didn't have to study for a long time, unless you count eternity, before he came. He was called a rabbi because they recognized how smart he was without really recognizing he was God. But Jesus was recognizing the culture. He understood the culture of the day. But Jesus wasn't just this holy person who prayed a lot. He was a smart person who thought a lot. In his humanness, he thought a lot. And he would do that. He would take his intellectual capital and he used it to train these disciples. And he used it to personally train the apostles, the 12. Spent a lot of time teaching them. He used his physical capital and his intellectual capital to train his disciples. And he's asking us to do the same thing. But we must remember that we're not acquiring intellect just for the sake of intellect. Just like last week we talked about, you do not acquire wealth just for the point of acquiring wealth. You don't acquire wealth to see what the bottom line balance number is, to see how many zeros are behind your checking account. You don't acquire intellect just to say, look how smart I am. Look at my degrees. I was in at the eye doctor Friday. And no offense against my eye doctor, that's okay. But I was sitting there and I'm peering back into this back little waiting room he's got for his staff and everything. He has a degree that is this big. I'm delusions of grandeur. My first thought, and he's a nice guy, but I'm like, do you really need one this big? Does everybody, do the people driving by the road outside need to look in there and see your? We don't attain knowledge just for the fact of having knowledge. But we do need to attain knowledge. Proverbs 3:13-18 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And the Bible's not talking, the Scripture's not talking about human wisdom. He's talking about godly wisdom. This is Proverbs. Chances are this is Solomon, the smartest man who ever lived, who got his wisdom from who? God. He was given a choice. Do you want riches or do you want wisdom? He says, I want wisdom. And God gave him both. But understand, in the end, he failed because of the number of wives, the number of concubines he had. They led him astray. So even his wisdom didn't save him. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. This is why we put intellectual and physical above financial. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Godly wisdom will bring you contentment and peace and riches and honor. So how do we get it? How do we grow our intellectual capital? We invest financial and physical capital in learning. We take time. We learn some things. Understand, we're not learning it just to learn it. We're learning it to further the kingdom of God. So we learn things to help us further God's kingdom. We invest relational capital by asking friends and family for ideas and have them like tell us what they think about our ideas. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. A wise man listens to advice. We invest spiritual capital and pray to God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you don't have wisdom, if you don't have godly wisdom, ask God for it, and he'll give it to you. And that's verified again in Luke 21:15. Jesus says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. God will give it to you. God will give you the words to say. He'll give you the words to say and the intelligence and the wisdom how to say them. Invest physical capital. Learn from the Scripture. Take time to learn from Scripture. This morning, I asked Senator Banks, how do you do it? How do you keep yourself? And how does prayer in the Bible, Scripture, come into play? We need to be in Scripture. We need to invest the physical time in Scripture. And you may not have a lot of knowledge, but you need to learn how to share it. Now, I'm going to quickly try to go through physical capital, because I want to get them both in today. See, physical capital is how much time and energy we have to invest. The currency being hours and health. We have two things to invest physically. Our number of hours in the day, and we all have the same number of hours. None of us has 27 hours. We all have 24. We all have 300. We all have 7 days a week. We all have 365 days in a year. But we all have different numbers of years. We'll get to that. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We need to present ourselves, our physical bodies, to God. God, this is yours. Do with it as you wish. Tell me what to do. Because the problem is, we got to be careful because sin will damage our bodies. Do you know that? Do you know that when you lie, you damage your body? When you covet, you damage your body? When you lust after something that's not yours, you damage your body. Psalm 38:3 says, David speaking, says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones. Why? Because of my sin. It makes you physically ill when we sin and we're feeling guilty. Hopefully you feel guilty about your sin. If you don't, you've got a bigger problem than the physical body pain. You have eternal problems. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, flee from sexual immorality. Why? Because every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So our bodies are a temple. God wants to meet us in his temple. Do you think he wants to be with somebody who's sinning? God cannot be with sin. He cannot be in the presence of sin. When Jesus was dying on the cross, God turned his back on him because he took on all of our sins. He had to. Why would God want to be in the temple with you if you're a sinner? He wants you in the temple because he wants you to be saved. He wants you to repent. But we need to flee from sexual immorality because it's sinning against my own body. And my own body is the temple of God. It'd be like walking up to the temple in Jerusalem if it had been built and chipping off some stone. Sin damages our bodies. And why? What do we do with our bodies? Why are our bodies so important? Why is the body so important? Our bodies are important because God created it. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, what? And body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we need to train our bodies just like we train our minds. We need to. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, so we need to train our bodies. We need to be physically fit. We need to be fit. It's of value, but godliness is of a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We need to train our bodies physically, spiritually, mentally. We need to train ourselves to be holy in body, not sin against our body. The problem is we have time against us. Times of human life are in God's hands. Job, remember I said we all have the same number of days, the same number of hours, same number of weeks, days in a week, same number of days in a year, but we do not all have the same number of years. Job 14:5 says, since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. We are all on this earth for a certain amount of time, differently. God has chosen it. We have a certain amount of time we have to get done what God wants us to do, what he wants us to learn, what he wants us to be. Your time is limited. And what we do here, I believe, has an influence on eternity. Daniel 2:21 says he changes the times and season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. God changes the times and the season. He puts people in place at certain times for certain reasons. We need to use our time correctly. Life is short. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in what? In wisdom, in knowledge. Because James 4:14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We have very little time. We have to be on God's mission. We have to be working and training our minds and training our bodies for the work that God has for us. We don't have all the time in the world. And it seems that anymore, time goes so fast. You ask my son, you got to wait till next week? He'll say, that's a long time, Daddy. You and me were like, what happened to last week? It's gone. I'm sure, Ross, if I ask you, what about, 10 years ago? 10 years ago, what? Like that. I look at my kids. I look at my son. He's six. And I'm like, man, I remember when he was a baby crying. And he's six. Time is fleeting. We don't have much time. That's why it's so important for us to talk to our neighbors about Christ. Because we don't have that much time. We need to be seeking God. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. We need to seek God. We need to make the most of our opportunities. So how do we do this? How do we grow our physical capital? We invest financial capital by taking a day off. You cannot work 24/7. You cannot work 7 days a week and expect to be physically fit. It doesn't happen. You need to take a day off. That means no work, focus on relaxing, relating and enjoying life. Doing this with a family will also grow your relational capital. Get healthier. Oh, I don't like this one. Better health helps us to be better stewards of our time. If I'm healthier, I can do more. I need to lose weight. I do, but I love food. I need to train my body. I need to train my taste buds. I need to train my mind to learn when it's time to say no. Because my body feels it now. My ankles hurt because I'm carrying around a lot of weight that I shouldn't be carrying around. I can't do as much. I can't get up and down as well as I used to. I can't see nearly as well as I used to. I got to get new glasses, by the way. I'm going blind again more. We need to get healthier. We need to have more energy and more mental clarity when we're healthy. Invest financial capital. Join a gym. Join a gym with a friend. Invest in financial capital and relational capital. Invest in getting better organized so you can make better use of your time. Spend more quiet time in prayer and in the scriptures. That'll help you intelligence-wise, physical-wise, spiritual wise and relational, because it's your relationship with God. All this to say that in spite of my foolish intelligence and my lack of training myself physically, God's will still be done. Now, wouldn't it be better if I stand before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, because I've done and invested what I needed to of my physical and my intellect to further his kingdom. I did what he wanted me to do, and I can praise his name, and I can look back and see what he's done through me because I invested correctly. That's my goal this year. My goal is to invest intellectually and physically. That's why I have this. If you ever get a Fitbit, don't be friends with Aaron Donovan. The woman's crazy. I do 6,000 steps. I'm like, whew, she's done 15,000. But that's good. It motivates me. That's part of the relational. It's motivating me. get physically fit. And I don't care if you're 92 years old, you can still be physically fit. And you can still honor God physically. Eliminate the sin in your life. Eliminate those things that distract you from God. Work on growing in your faith by spending time in Scripture and spend time praying. People think it's a waste of time. It says, oh, I could be doing something else. I could be playing a different video game. I could be watching a different TV show. I could, you know, could be sleeping. And we do need to sleep, by the way. We need plenty of sleep physically. We need to understand that our bodies are a gift from God. Our minds are a gift from God. And we need to use them to further His kingdom. We need to take care of the temple. We need to take care of the temple. Let's do that this year. Father, we praise You. We thank You that You have given us wisdom and You have given us bodies that are amazing, can do amazing things. But we ask, Father, that You would help us to train it. Help us to be faithful in what You've given us. We don't just invest money, Father. We invest our intellect by growing in You. We invest our lives physically by taking care of this temple where You live. The Holy Spirit is inside us. Help us to eliminate the sin in our lives. Help us to be the people You want us to be, so that Your name will be glorified and Your will be done. We thank You, Father. We praise You.